Welcome to Headphone News, International Edition for Monday, June 2, 2025.
China condemns U.S. Defense Secretary's remarks amid rising tensions. China has condemned U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth for calling the country a threat and promoting a Cold War mindset. This comes as tensions between the U.S. and China rise. The Chinese Foreign Ministry accused Hegseth of making hurtful comments during his speech at the Shangri-La Dialogue in Singapore. China claims the U.S. is stirring conflict in the Asia-Pacific, especially regarding Taiwan, which it sees as an internal issue. Hegseth warned that the U.S. will strengthen its military presence overseas in response to perceived threats from Beijing. In a Facebook post, the Chinese embassy in Singapore labeled Hegseth's remarks as inflammatory. Recently, the U.S. and China reached a temporary deal to lower tariffs on each other's goods, but uncertainty remains about how long this truce will last. Former President Donald Trump has hinted at a tougher approach toward China, accusing it of breaking an unspecified agreement. Tensions escalated further when the U.S. announced plans to revoke visas for Chinese students. The Chinese embassy also criticized attempts to link the Taiwan issue with the ongoing war in Ukraine, following French President Emmanuel Macron's warning about a dangerous double standard regarding potential conflict with China.
Poland's presidential runoff, key candidates and stakes. On June 1, 2025, Polish voters will cast their ballots in a high-stakes presidential runoff that could shape the country's future and its relationship with the European Union. The main contenders are Rafał Trzaskowski, the liberal mayor of Warsaw, and Karol Nawrocki, a conservative historian backed by the right-wing Law and Justice Party. In the first round, on May 18th, Trzaskowski received just over 31% of the votes, while Nawrocki followed closely with nearly 30%. Trzaskowski, 53, is campaigning to restore judicial independence and strengthen ties with European partners. Meanwhile, 42-year-old Nawrocki defends traditional Polish values and expresses skepticism towards the EU, aligning himself with U.S. conservatives like former President Donald Trump. Both candidates support aid to Ukraine amid rising security concerns due to Russia's ongoing war, but they differ on NATO membership for Ukraine, with Nawrocki opposing it and Trzaskowski advocating for it. The outcome of this election will determine whether Poland continues on a nationalist path or embraces more liberal democratic norms.
Bank of Japan's bold financial strategy. In a bold move, the Bank of Japan is shaking up its financial strategy by setting aside maximum reserves for bond losses, raising the level to 100% for the financial year 2024 for the first time. This game-changing decision reflects expectations of rising interest costs that could impact the BOJ's capital funds. In its May 2025 meeting, the BOJ decided to keep short-term interest rates steady at 0.5%, signaling a careful strategy amid pressures to raise borrowing costs. These actions are crucial for Japan's economy, as they can influence consumer spending and business investments. The BOJ's approach shows its commitment to navigating the challenges of rising interest rates while ensuring economic stability. How might these financial decisions affect your daily life?
Record migrant arrivals in the UK. On June 1, 2025, UK officials reported a staggering 1,194 migrants arrived in just one day, the highest number for this year. This brings the total to over 14,800 migrants so far, a significant 42% increase compared to last year. The Labour government, led by Prime Minister Keir Starmer, is under intense pressure over immigration policies, having scrapped the previous Conservative plan to send unauthorized migrants to Rwanda. Instead, Starmer's team is focused on breaking down smuggling networks and boosting enforcement in northern France. French police have been active, rescuing 184 migrants in Gravelines as they attempted to cross. Defense Secretary John Healey called the situation pretty shocking and stressed the need for better intervention strategies. Despite ongoing efforts, the cross-channel route remains a dangerous path for many seeking a new life in the UK, drawn by family ties and the hope of easier access to asylum and jobs.
UK expands nuclear submarine fleet. The United Kingdom has unveiled bold plans to increase its fleet of nuclear-powered attack submarines as part of a comprehensive defense strategy review. This initiative highlights the urgent need for significant funding to enhance military capabilities in response to modern threats. Prime Minister Keir Starmer emphasized that European leaders are stepping up to meet calls for stronger national security, especially after former U.S. President Donald Trump's push for greater European defense responsibility. Defense Minister John Healey pointed out the importance of addressing rising dangers, particularly from Russia. The UK plans to build up to 12 advanced submarines equipped with traditional non-nuclear weapons, replacing the current fleet of 7 expected to be retired by the late 2030s. Additionally, a new nuclear warhead development program will require £15 billion, reflecting a strong commitment to bolstering national security. Starmer aims to boost defense spending to 2.5% of the country's GDP by 2027, with a long-term goal of reaching 3%. The UK's military strategy is shaped by its geographical position in northwestern Europe and its historical alliances, particularly with the United States and NATO. The AUKUS partnership with Australia and the US plays a crucial role in influencing the UK's defense policies. What does this mean for the future of European security?
Major General Drapetyi resigns after missile strike. Major General Mykhaila Drapetyi has stepped down following a tragic missile strike on a military training facility in Dnipropetrovsk. This deadly attack, attributed to Russian military forces, resulted in the loss of 12 soldiers and left 60 injured. Drapetyi shared his deep sorrow on Facebook, mourning the young soldiers who were meant to train and serve, not to die. In response, President Volodymyr Zelensky gathered top military leaders to address the incident, emphasizing the need to protect every life. He assured that all necessary actions would be taken to ensure personnel safety. This strike and Drapetyi's resignation underscore the serious challenges facing the Ukrainian military amid the ongoing conflict with Russia. What does this mean for the future of Ukraine's defense?
UN Habitat Assembly tackles global housing crisis. The United Nations Habitat Assembly concluded on June 1, 2025, in Nairobi, Kenya, with a bold new plan to address the global housing crisis. Over 1,300 representatives, including ministers and urban planners, gathered for this important event, which takes place every 4 years. Kenyan President William Ruto praised the agreement on the United Nations Human Settlements Program's strategic plan for 2026 to 2029, stressing the need for fair access to housing and urging countries to support affordable housing initiatives. The assembly also announced that the 13th World Urban Forum will be held in Baku, Azerbaijan, from May 17 to May 22, 2026, focusing on housing the world, safe and resilient cities and communities. This strategic plan aims to improve access to housing, land, and essential services like clean water and sanitation, aligning with global efforts to create greener, more resilient cities. Anna Claudia Rosbach, the executive director of UN Habitat, highlighted the plan's commitment to upgrading informal settlements and fighting poverty, while Alice Wahome, Kenya's cabinet secretary for lands, public works, housing, and urban development, noted that this strategy offers a solid framework for urban renewal, tackling challenges like conflict, poverty, and climate change.
Iran's stance on uranium enrichment. Mohammad Eslami, the president of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, has made it clear that uranium enrichment is a vital part of Iran's nuclear industry and a red line for the nation. Speaking to state-run IRIB television, he responded to U.S. calls for Iran to stop its enrichment activities. This statement followed a report from the International Atomic Energy Agency, which revealed that Iran had not fully accounted for nuclear material at 3 undeclared sites and had shown limited cooperation with the agency. Eslami stressed Iran's right to enrich uranium, arguing that without it, the nuclear fuel cycle would be jeopardized, impacting research and development. Meanwhile, indirect negotiations between the United States and Iran, mediated by Oman, are ongoing, focusing on Iran's nuclear program and the potential lifting of U.S. sanctions. This complex situation is rooted in the historical context of the 2015 Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action and the U.S. withdrawal from the agreement in 2018, which heightened tensions.
Waller discusses interest rates and tariffs in Seoul. Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller recently spoke in Seoul, South Korea, about the possibility of cutting interest rates later this year. He recognized that tariffs from the Trump administration might temporarily raise prices, but stressed the Fed's focus on adjusting rates based on the economy's needs. Waller supports looking past short-term inflation caused by tariffs when setting policy rates. He pointed out a strong labor market and recent progress on inflation as reasons to take time in evaluating trade negotiations. However, he warned that higher tariffs could impact consumer spending, leading businesses to cut back on production and jobs. Waller's insights highlight how interconnected global economies are and the significant influence of U.S. policies on international trade.
South Korea's manufacturing sector faces tough hurdles. South Korea's manufacturing sector is grappling with serious challenges, as a recent report reveals. The Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI, for May is at 47.7, indicating a decline below the neutral level of 50. This marks the fourth month in a row of reduced manufacturing activity, driven by weak local demand and tariffs from the United States that have hit factory output hard. Economist Usama Abadi from S&P Global Market Intelligence points out that many companies are struggling due to stagnation in the domestic economy and the impact of these tariffs on both local and export markets. New orders have seen their steepest drop since June 2020, while factory production has fallen at the fastest rate in over 2 years. Compounding these issues are South Korea's worst wildfires on record and ongoing political instability. In response, the Bank of Korea has cut interest rates 4 times this year, lowering the economic outlook to just 0.8%. Despite these hurdles, there's a glimmer of hope among manufacturers, as the PMI survey shows a slight recovery in sentiment, with hopes for easing global trade tensions. However, concerns about the lasting effects of tariffs continue to loom large.
Goldman Sachs predicts OPEC plus oil production increase. Goldman Sachs, a leading investment bank, forecasts that OPEC plus will increase oil production by about 400,000 barrels per day in August 2025. This prediction is fueled by strong global demand and current market conditions. Following a notable rise of 411,000 barrels per day in July, tight supply factors and seasonal needs will support this growth. Although a slowdown in demand is expected, it won't be enough to halt production increases when OPEC Plus meets on July 6, 2025. Goldman Sachs also maintains a cautious outlook on oil prices, estimating Brent crude will average $60 per barrel and West Texas Intermediate at $56 for the remainder of the year. These OPEC Plus decisions are crucial, as they significantly influence global oil prices and can impact everything from gas prices to the broader economy.
Poland's presidential runoff results. On June 1, 2025, Poland held a crucial presidential runoff election where independent candidate Karol Nawrocki won by a narrow margin against Rafał Trzaskowski, the mayor of Warsaw and member of the ruling Civic Coalition. A late Ipsos poll revealed Nawrocki received just over half of the votes at 50.7%, while Trzaskowski was close behind with nearly 49.3%. Voter participation was impressive at 72.8%, showing strong public interest. This runoff followed a competitive first round on May 18, where Trzaskowski secured 31.36% and Nawrocki got 29.54%. Since no candidate achieved the majority needed, a second round was essential. The final results are expected to be announced on the morning or early afternoon of June 2, 2025. What will these results mean for Poland's future?
That is all the news for today. Thank you for listening to today's Headphone News. News summary brought to you by AI.